This month on Sunday afternoons, we have been working our way through some sermons that have to do with the sins of the tongue. The Bible has a lot to say about our tongue and the way we use our tongues, and that makes sense because every one of us has one, and we use it every day, and probably use it quite often every day, not just in the words that we speak, but now with our technology, the words that we text and the words that we type. We have a lot that we a lot of opportunities to use the tongue, which means that we have a lot of opportunities to misuse the tongue. God created man as a social being. He created Adam, and about the first thing that he said about his creation that wasn't good, it wasn't good for Adam to be alone. He needed a companion, and of course created woman for the man, but created man with social needs. For the most part, people do not like being alone. There are a few exceptions, but they are few and far between. As a rule, we like to be with other people, and we like to talk to other people. The ability to communicate brings some great blessings to mankind, but as with every other blessing we have, the devil can misuse it. The devil uses human communication as a means of spreading sin and sorrow and grief and pain. We are all aware of the potential damage that can be caused by the tongue. As we had read for us a few moments ago in the book of James, in chapter 3, there James refers to the tongue as a fire that is capable of destroying a forest, as a restless evil pouncing to get out of a cage to inflict harm upon those within its grasp. There are many ways that we can sin with the tongue and commit evil with the tongue. This afternoon, I would like for us to talk for a few moments about the sin of gossip. This is a sin that is found among God's people. Anyone who has ears to hear and anyone who has a mouth with which to speak is not immune to this sin. What is gossip? Let's start by defining our term. When we go to the English dictionary and we look up the word gossip, the definition for the noun use of this word is a person who chatters or repeats idle talk and rumors, especially about the private affairs of others. That being the noun form of the word, the verb form then would be the repetition of idle talk or rumors, especially about the private affairs of others. So gossip is when we repeat what we have heard, when we repeat idle talk or useless talk, especially about the private affairs of others. Another word that is heard along with gossip is the word slander. And we need to understand and appreciate the fact that they are not entirely the same thing. Again, the English dictionary defines slander as the utterance in the presence of another person of a false statement or statements damaging to the third person's character or reputation. If there's any distinction at all between gossip and slander, and I believe there is, slander deals with lies, false statements or falsehoods, where gossip can be the truth. We know that it's wrong to lie. We talked about that last Sunday afternoon. A gossip can be the repeating of something that is true, and yet it is still something that we should not be speaking, something that we should not be sharing with others. The Bible also uses the word talebearer and the word whisperer when referring to a gossip, and we'll see that as our lesson unfolds this afternoon. Why do people gossip? Why do people engage in this sin? Well, like every other sin, gossip is enjoyable. If sin wasn't pleasant, if sin wasn't fun, the devil would have a hard time getting us to do it. People gossip simply because they enjoy gossiping. They enjoy spreading the rumors. They enjoy the thrill of learning that they're the first individual to share news with somebody else, and perhaps watching the look on their face as they learn all these juicy details about private matters. or they hear the tone, the expression of their voice on the phone as they tell them about what Sister so-and-so has done or Brother so-and-so had happened to him. There's some joy in that. There's some pleasure in that. If there wasn't pleasure, no one would do it. We enjoy hearing it, don't we? We enjoy hearing the juicy details about other people. I mean, this has to be true about half of the talk shows on television and news programs on television are nothing but pure gossip. Saying things that ought not to be said, spreading rumors and talking about spicy details that ought not to be talked about. We enjoy saying it, we enjoy spreading it, we enjoy hearing it. Proverbs 18 and verse 8 says, "The words of a talebearer are like tasty trifles. They go down into the inmost body. They taste good. They're pleasant. They're enjoyable." And so that's why we gossip. Let's not kid ourselves. It's enjoyable to some people. If it wasn't, we wouldn't be doing it. What we need to understand, I believe most of us do, but what we need to understand and point out is that while this sin of gossip does have its pleasure, does have its joy, and does have its satisfaction, it also has its destructive side. There is damage that is caused by gossip. One, the Bible says that the one who gossips reveals secrets. In the book of Proverbs, at chapter 11 and verse 13, a talebearer reveals secrets, but he who is of a faithful spirit conceals a matter. Remember what gossip is. Gossip is the repetition of idle talk or chatter that has to do with the private affairs of others. And brother, we need to understand and realize that there are some things that are better left private. There are some secrets that are better left unrevealed. And that doesn't sit too well with us in our society today. Because we have today, probably more than any other time in human history, we have an industry, we have the media that takes great pride in revealing secrets and being the first one to reveal those secrets. And we want to learn all about the things that a congressman has done. We want to learn all about the things that an entertainer has done at their weekend party at some resort. We want to learn all the secrets about all these different individuals. And at times, when those aren't available to us, as a public, as a whole, we feel like we're being deprived of the truth, don't we? But we have a right to know these things. Every once in a while, you'll see an entertainer come on television. They'll be on a talk show, or they'll make an appeal on television. Sometimes say, "This is my private life, and I don't like my private life being portrayed out in the open for everyone to see." And you know, I can appreciate that. I wouldn't like my private life portrayed out on television. I wouldn't like to see it on the 6 o'clock news or read about it in the newspaper. But you know, I have a hard time feeling sorry for these people because they want everyone to pay attention to them. That's how they make their money, and then they turn around and complain when people pay a little too much attention to them. But the point is that they realize that there's some things about their lives that are secret and they want to keep it a secret. There are some things that we're better off not knowing about. There are some secrets that don't need to be told. There are some things that are private. And gossip reveals those things that would be better off left alone and private. The Bible also says that gossip separates friends. Proverbs 16 verse 28 says, "A perverse man sows strife, and a whisperer separates the best of friends." The whisperer is that gossip who whispers in the ear of someone else the private and the secret things that are happening to a third person. What happens when that gossip gets out, when those secrets that were confided to an individual, when they turn around and tell somebody else and word gets back to the victim, what happens to that friendship between them and the one they confided in? That friendship's over. That friendship's gone. That trust has been betrayed. And so the sin of gossip destroys friendships. And of course, along with that, it brings anger. The north wind brings forth rain. and a backbiting tongue and angry countenance. How did you feel when you learned that someone told the secret things of your life? How did you feel when you found out that you were the object of gossip and slander? You were angry, and rightfully so. Gossip doesn't bring about anything good. It brings about anger, and it kindles strife. Proverbs 26, verses 20 and 21. Where there is no wood, the fire goes out. And where there is no talebearer, strife ceases. As charcoal is to burning coal, and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. Notice what the gossip does, what the slanderer does, what the talebearer, the whisperer does. Just like taking a match to dry paper, they destroy friendships and they destroy peace. It kindles strife. It starts arguments, and it creates fights. But notice in verse 20, we have a clue. We're going to talk about this more in just a moment, but here we have a clue as to something we can do to help stop gossip. What happens when you take the fuel away from a fire? The fire goes out. What happens when you decide, I'm not going to listen to gossip anymore? If I find out that someone's about to tell me something I don't need to hear about, I find out someone's about to gossip to me, I'm going to tell them I don't want to hear it. You do that enough, they'll quit coming to you with it, won't they? When that you take away that wood, you take away that fuel, the fire goes out. Quit listening to it, and they'll quit bringing it to you. And finally, gossip is amongst all the sins that we commit with the tongue, and that shows us to be a fool. I love these verses. Proverbs chapter 17, verses 27 and 28. He who has knowledge spares his words, and a man of understanding is of a calm spirit. Even a fool is counted wise when he holds his peace. When he shuts his lips, he is considered perceptive. The way I've heard it put is I'd rather have people think I'm a fool than open up my mouth and remove all doubt. Even a fool can pass himself off as being wise if he'll keep his mouth shut. But if we rattle off at the mouth with gossip or cursing or lying, or whatever it may be, we show ourselves to be a fool. Yes, gossip may be enjoyable, but the Bible tells us that there's much damage that can be done as a result of gossip. And we need to remember that. We need to think of that. How can I overcome the sin of gossip? It is a sin. It is something which ought not to be characteristic of me as a child of God or us as God's people, God's church. How can we overcome this sin? Well, I believe the key to overcoming the sin of gossip is learning to practice self-control. Learning, as the passage we just saw in Proverbs, learning how to keep my mouth shut. I might want to say it. And it might be burning on my tongue to get it out because of the pleasure that is found there or the pride of being the first one to break the news. But I've got to learn how to control myself and deny myself of that sinful pleasure. Self-control is the key to overcoming gossip, as with any sin of the tongue. But I believe that with this particular sin, there are some questions that you and I could ask ourselves that would help us to determine whether or not we need to repeat something that we have just heard. Before we contemplate repeating gossip, there are some questions that we can ask ourselves that will help us to determine whether or not we should repeat what we've just heard. Number one, the first question, is it true? This thing that I've just heard, and this thing that I'm tempted to tell somebody else, is it even true? Because you know, if it's not true, then what we're doing is we're engaging in slander. We're telling a lie. And we know that no Christian should have a part of telling or spreading a lie. So is it true or not? In the book of Proverbs, chapter 18, and at verse 13. I want us to open our Bible and look at the rest of the passages that we have this afternoon. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 13 says, "He who answers a matter before he hears it, it is folly and shame to him." If we answer a matter, that is, we give our own opinion about something before we take the time to get all the facts, it's foolishness and it's shameful. And then down in verse 17, this is another verse in the book of Proverbs that I love. "The first one to plead his cause seems right until his neighbor comes and examines him." Of course it's true. I know it's true. So-and-so told me. They told me, and they heard it from someone else, and they heard it from someone else. Really? Are you sure that it's true? If you care enough to be involved in spreading it on to the next person, if you're that interested in repeating what you've heard, should you not at least have interest in finding out whether or not it is true? Have you gone to the person and talked to them? Have you gotten all the facts? Have you heard from all sides that are involved? It's a good question. A good, honest question. We need to be honest. And we need to care enough about people that if we are going to spread news that we've heard, that we take the time to get all the facts, get all the sides of the story. Secondly, another question we need to consider. If I repeat this matter, is it going to build brethren up, or is it going to tear brethren down? In the book of Romans, chapter 14, Romans chapter 14 and verse 19, Paul says, "Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace, and the things by which one may edify another." Above all other things, the way I need to act with my brethren, among my brethren, and interact with my brethren, I need to conduct myself in a way that it makes for peace and it makes for edification, in which we can build each other up. Does gossip do that? No, it doesn't. Remember what we just read and what we studied about gossip. That gossip separates friends. That gossip brings anger. Gossip kindles strife. It doesn't promote peace. It doesn't create an atmosphere that is conductive to peace. It doesn't build up. It destroys. So before we repeat that matter, before we call or text and we share that juicy bit of information we just heard about somebody else, let's stop and let's ask, what are the effects of me spreading this on? Is it going to make for peace? Or is it going to make for strife? Is it going to build my brethren up? Or is it going to be a means of tearing them down? Now I realize that there are times in which we need to say things that are of a negative nature, perhaps even about others, perhaps even about our brethren. There are times that people need to be warned. We are to go to that brother who is in sin, and we are to correct him as best we can, to warn him and try to turn him back. And there are also times when our brethren who make mistakes and our brethren who commit sins can be used as example for others. We point our children to those individuals. We point each other to those individuals in an effort to learn from those mistakes and to learn from those sins so that we don't repeat them. So I'm not saying or suggesting that we should never say anything that is of a negative nature regarding anyone else. The Bible doesn't paint with that broad of a stroke, and I believe that that is unrealistic. But you know, there's a right way and a wrong way to go about doing just about anything. That includes the way that we talk about others and the way we talk about our brethren and talk about their sin. Am I going about this in a way that's going to result in peace and edification or in destruction of my brethren? Third, have I talked to these individuals first? Matthew chapter 18, in this passage, Jesus tells us how to handle a sin that is of a private nature. Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 through 17, Jesus says, "Moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone." Did you get that? When your brother sins against you, what does the Lord want you to do? He doesn't say, run and pick up the phone. He says, run, go, and talk to him alone. And yet what happens so often? So often someone sins against me, and it's not of a public nature. It's of a private nature. They've said something. They've done something that offends me. Instead of going to them, what do? Well, I go to my friend, and I say, I feel terrible, and I need a shoulder to cry on. Or I need some advice. I need to know how to handle this situation. Well, you may need a shoulder to cry on, but what has the Lord told you to do? You may think that you need advice in this situation, but the Lord's given it to you right here. A lot of things that are spread as gossip are the private affairs of others. And if someone has sinned against you alone, and it has been done privately, the Lord says that you are to take care of that privately. You go to them and talk to them about the matter. And if you're able to straighten that out, that's great. Jesus says you've gained your brother. But if he won't hear you, take with you one or two more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he refuses even to hear the church, let him be to you as a heathen and a tax collector. If a brother sins against us in a private way, we need to take care of that privately. And if it can be resolved between the two of us, no one else should ever learn about it or ever know about it. I realize, though, that not every sin committed against brethren is of a private nature. Sometimes it's a sin that is of a public nature. And when that's the case, then there are other scriptures that tell us how to deal with sins that are of a public nature. But let me ask, is there not still great wisdom found in the Lord's instruction here about going to them and talking to them about it? Instead of taking someone's word for it, if we're interested enough to be involved to the point that we're spreading it on to others, shouldn't we not care enough about our brethren to go to them and talk to them about it first? Gossip is the spreading of private affairs. Another thing that needs to be considered here about talking to them first, or going to the individual that is the object of this gossip. I've heard some older preachers tell me about methods that they had used or wished that they had used in stopping gossip taking place where they were. Somebody would come to them or would call them and make an appointment to talk to them, and so they would get together with that individual, and it didn't take but just a couple of moments before they realized this individual is gossiping to them. They've brought them some gossip and they want to talk about someone else. And so that brother, that preacher, would say, hold on just a minute, get out a piece of paper, get out a pencil, and say, all right, talk slow. Everything that you tell me about this individual, after we're done talking, I'm going to go to them. I'm going to tell them what you've said. I'm going to tell them who you are. I'm going to find out if this is the truth. They said, that stops the gossip right there. Go to the person. Have I gone to the person? Have I talked to them first? Have I gotten the other side of the story? Or do I even care? That's something I need to think about. That's a question I need to ask myself before I repeat a matter. How about this one? Have I examined myself first? Matthew chapter 7, verses 3 through 5. Matthew chapter 7, verses 3 through 5. Jesus says, and why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye, and look, a plank is in your own eye? Hypocrite! First remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Jesus here shows us the wisdom of examining ourselves before we get involved in the affairs of other people. After all, only a hypocrite would spread word about the faults of others while displaying even greater faults in himself or herself. Am I qualified to even say anything about this matter? Do I have any credibility at all regarding my spiritual condition? Do I have any credibility at all in talking about the sins of somebody else? Do I even need to be involved in this? Have I examined myself first? Another question to ask, and I think this one really gets at the heart of the matter. Why am I really wanting to do this? I've heard something about someone else. I've heard someone about a brother or sister in Christ. I know someone that I'd like to tell it to. But why do I want to do it? What is motivating me to want to say this thing? Or to want to send this text or send this email? Am I trying to achieve good? Am I trying to correct a sin that is in the life of a brother or sister? Am I trying to warn someone about someone else's destructive but potential destructive nature? Or am I, quite honestly, looking to get pleasure out of spreading gossip? Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 9. Proverbs 17 and verse 9 says, "He who covers a transgression seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates friends." He who covers a transgression seeks love. What does covers a transgression mean? Does that mean ignore it and act like it never happened? No. The second part of this verse tells us what it means. The second part of the verse talks about repeating the matter. So covering it means I don't repeat it. He who covers a transgression seeks love, but he who repeats the matter separates friends. What's my motive? If I love this individual and I want what is best for them, then I'll conceal the matter. I won't say anything about it. Out of love for them, out of care for their reputation and their influence, I'll seek to conceal it and keep it private. But if I like gossip and I take great pleasure in being a talebearer, then I'm going to repeat it. I'm going to spread it, and I'm going to watch the destruction that follows with a sadistic smile. What's my motive? Why am I really wanting to say this? Not how am I justifying it, but within my heart, why am I really wanting to do this? And finally, we've got to consider the golden rule, as it's been referred to. Matthew chapter 7, and at verse 12. "Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets." Do I want my brethren digging through my private affairs and taking them and broadcasting them out before everyone? Do I want my brethren, when I come to a point in my life where I have sinned and I've exposed the sin in my life, or it's been exposed in some way? Remember, your sin always finds its way. Your sin is always going to be found out. When that happens, would I want my brethren to get a hold of that and to write it as far as they could? Or would I appreciate them helping me to conceal the matter and getting over it as quickly as possible? The way that I treat others and the way that I talk about others is most likely going to be the way that they treat me and they talk about me. Here's a good rule to keep in mind when you're participating in gossip and you're listening to someone talk to you about somebody else and really sling the mud and really give the juicy details. Don't you know good and well that if someone will gossip to you, they will gossip about you? If someone is that low that they're willing to gossip to you and with you, they're not going to think a thing in the world of gossiping about you when your back is turned. How do I want to be treated by others? That's the way that I need to treat them. And if something does need to be said about someone else, about their sin, about something that they've done, if there ever comes a time in which something needs to be said about them, I don't always do it, but I try to follow this rule. I try to say it as best I can as if they were standing right there hearing it. If I've got to say something negative about someone else, I try to say it as if they are there. I try to do them at least that much with the hope that they would do the same thing for me if the tables are ever turned. These are some questions that we need to ask ourselves before we think about picking up that phone or logging in or pulling someone aside or setting up a lunch where we can get together and talk about someone. I think it would do us well if we would consider these kind of questions before we repeat a matter. Is it true? Is it going to build up or tear down? Have I talked to them first? Have I examined myself? Why am I really wanting to do this? And is this the way I would want to be treated myself? I imagine this would stop a lot of gossip before it even gets started. Gossip has always been a problem among God's people. All the way back in the Old Testament, in Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 16, God said, "You shall not go about as a talebearer among your people." And then we get to the New Testament. We find 1 Timothy chapter 5 and Titus chapter 2 telling the women not to be busybodies and gossips and talebearers. And we see it happening even today among God's people. Just because it's always existed doesn't mean that it's right. Gossip is a sin. And if we find that we are involved in this sin, we need to repent of it. If we find that we are the ones who are spreading it, or we find that we are giving ear to it on a regular basis, we need to change our habits. We need to change our practice. We need to change our attitude. If we find that we have a problem with this sin, we need to repent. Pray God's forgiveness. And pray for His help for us to overcome this sin. There are plenty of good things that we need to be spreading. We need to be spreading the gospel and helping others to see and to learn what they need to do in order to be saved of their sins. We need to be spreading joy amongst one another. We need to be sending encouragement to one another. There's plenty of good, positive things we need to be doing with our words. We need to stay away from gossip. Let it not be named among God's people. Thank you for your kind consideration for this study this afternoon. If you're subject to the invitation, you know that we are offering it for you. It's an opportunity for you, if you need to do so publicly, to make your life right with God. Maybe you're at a point where you need to make public confession of sin. Perhaps the sin that we've talked about this afternoon, or some other sin in your life, you need to take care of it publicly. We'd be glad to help you. We'd be glad to pray with you and for you. Maybe you're ready this afternoon to put on the Lord in baptism. You thought about the lesson this morning and realize that your obedience to the gospel is what is standing between you and the salvation of your soul, and you want to take care of that right now, then we'd be glad to help you. Whatever your need is, we invite you to let it be known by coming forward as together we stand and sing this invitation song.